Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Well, we're studying Micah. And Micah is what is called a minor prophet, but all the minor prophets are just exploding with important things for the people of God to understand in this time. So let's take a look at Micah. First of all, Micah means, who is like Yah? Who is like Yahweh? That's what the name Micah means. Who is like Yahweh? Well, no one is like Yahweh. And Micah ministered and was a contemporary with Isaiah and Hosea. He ministered at the same time of Isaiah and Hosea. And this was back in about 632 to about 608 BC. And it's amazing the parallels between Micah and Isaiah in terms of the central theme of God calling his people to repent, and also Messiah is a very central theme. But Micah really could be considered the confirmation and the second witness to Isaiah, just as Isaiah could also be considered the second witness or confirmation for the book of Micah. And Hosea also, but especially Isaiah. Micah gives perhaps the single most profound messianic prophecy in the entire Bible in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. It's a tremendous, important verse, a great memory verse for these times, a source of encouragement, and one of the greatest proofs that the Lord Jesus Christ and only He could be the Messiah. That one verse could keep a lot of people from taking the mark of the beast and coming to know the true Messiah and not falling for the false Messiah, which is going to be center stage on the world scene very soon now. When we look and see the things that the prophet Micah wrote about, we know we're in the last days. A very strong confirmation right from the beginning that the message of Micah would be most revealing in the last days. And truly, he does have a most revealing message. And brethren, because God's roadmap for true peace and life has been rejected, this is a main reason why there has been a strong delusion that has been sent upon this world. And for this cause, God would send a strong delusion that they all might be damned because they loved not the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. We must love the truth. We must acknowledge the truth. And because men have rejected God's roadmap of truth and peace and everlasting life in Him who is the truth personified, the Lord Jesus Christ, because men have chosen to reject the truth in such great love, this is a big part of the reason why we have the Antichrist roadmap of a false peace that will lead to destruction. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Why do we say it's an Antichrist roadmap? Daniel 8:25, and through his policy also he shall cause craft, witchcraft, Luciferian occultism, through his policy he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. They're going to tolerate any religion in this New World Order religion of the Antichrist and his false prophet Pope, except those not authentically human, real Christians and Jews, those real Christians, those commandment observant Christians. But he, this prince, this Antichrist prince who exalts himself against the King of Kings, he shall be broken without hand. I think if we had just a few definitions, we would see how that the words of Micah are just crying out with boldness and precision regarding this Antichrist roadmap to destruction. Samaria is the mountains of Israel. The mountains of Israel, very special to God, profoundly important in last days prophecy. Samaria is where the Antichrist rulers of this world want to establish another Palestinian terrorist state in order to destroy the state of Israel. This has always been Satan's game plan to corrupt and subvert and pervert people, religious people, get them to religiously hate the Jews, get them to believe that they're serving God by killing these Christ killer Jews. Oh, Satan has been very successful in getting the Church of Jesus Christ, the so-called Church of Jesus Christ, to kill and torture and pillage these people for almost 2,000 years. But understand that Samaria means the mountains of Israel. What does Israel mean? It's so important we understand what Israel means. Most foundationally, Israel is the name of all born-again people. It's the name of the family of God. It's all those who are born-again people in Christ Jesus, in Messiah Yeshua. All truly born-again people are part of the family of God called Israel. Sure, Israel's a nation, but that's about to change. Ephraim, what's Ephraim? Ephraim are those commandment-observant Gentile believers in Messiah. And Judah. Judah is the righteous nation that we will soon see emerge from the corrupt state of Israel when the four carpenters of Zechariah chapter 1 verses 18 through 21 finish their work and the Lord himself removes the veil and saves the whole nation of Israel in a day. We're going to take a look at Zechariah chapter 12. So many people just don't understand that God himself is going to save the whole nation of Israel in a day. It's very clearly spelled out by the prophet Zechariah in chapter 12. And we ought to take a look at this. Now, this is the word of God. God said so, brethren. You may not like it. You may not understand how he's going to do it. But he said he's going to do it, and he's going to do it. Zechariah chapter 12. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord. It's not my idea, brethren. Thus saith the Lord. This is the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel. Yeah, this nation, which today, sure, it's corrupt. But also it means all born-again people. But we're talking now about this specific nation that we see today, where God moved miraculously, so that in these last days there would again be a nation of Israel. Now here's the burden of the word of the Lord regarding this nation of Israel right now. And it is, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, which stretches forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. And when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem, and in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts their God. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, and the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do magnify themselves, do not magnify themselves. Listen to this. Do not magnify themselves against Judah. Whatever you do, brethren, do not speak against Jerusalem. Do not speak against the nation of Judah. Do not speak against the Jews. You must love them. And if you don't understand the burden of the Lord. And if you dare speak against Jerusalem, speak against Judah, speak against these people, your love will be cut in pieces. Now this day is at hand, brethren. This is the burden of the Lord. I'm not making this up. This is the Word of God as much as anything else you got in your New Testament church-twisted, perverted theology. You better understand this is a burden of the Lord, which if you don't understand it, could very easily get you cut in pieces directly by the hand of the Lord at this time. Verse 8, in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the morning of Hadramimon in the valley of Megiddon, and the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. Brethren, this is the burden of the Lord. You better see what God tells you about Zechariah chapter 12. God himself is going to save that whole nation of Israel in a day. It will then become the righteous nation of Judah. If you stand against that, you stand against God Almighty. He may himself cut you in pieces. You better understand this, because he's not going to be playing around in this time. The nation of Israel in that day will then be known as the nation of Judah. All right, let's look at what the prophet Micah had to tell us. The word of the Lord that came to Micah, the Morathite, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. All right, what's the roadmap about? The roadmap is just a new name for Oslo. The Antichrist Prince's personal attorney, Lord Victor Mishkan, got together with other Freemason, high-level Freemason heads of state to draw up this Oslo peace plan insanity. This 7-year peace and safety agreement signed by Rabin and Arafat. That was Oslo, and what they've done is they've renamed this thing. The roadmap, but it's still the same Antichrist peace and safety agreement. And remember, when they say peace and safety, and it relates to Israel and this nation of Israel being saved, the whole nation being saved by God Himself in one day to become the nation of Judah, brethren, that is at hand, and we know it's in hand by this insanity of this so-called roadmap of the Antichrist about peace, which seeks to establish a terrorist state in Samaria. And really, the bottom line of the whole thing is to give Jerusalem to the false prophet Pope so he can declare this Antichrist prince to be God on the Temple Mount. The great abomination of desolation that the Lord Jesus Christ told his people was the only specific sign of the end of the world. And we are about to see that specific sign. The Lord Jesus Christ, when they asked him those two questions, when would the temple be destroyed, and what would be the sign of his coming in the end of the world, there's only one thing in those three chapters that is specific. And that's Matthew 24, verse 15, where Jesus said, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, let him that reads understand." Brethren, whatever you do, do not approach the altar of God contemptuously. It only happened once, and even the idiots out there in the wilderness who provoked God for 40 years, even they only had to learn this lesson once. Only one time did they approach the altar of God, the tabernacle of God, the holy place, contemptuously one time. And when it happened, Moses told Aaron, "Oh, Aaron, run, get your incense censer filled with coals from the altar and run with your incense to the middle of the crowd, for the plague has started." Yes, the earth had just opened up to swallow Korah, who rebelled against Moses, who rebelled against God-ordained authority, thought he had a better idea than the God-ordained elder. Yeah, I thought he had a better idea. And the earth opened up to swallow up Korah and everyone who had joined with Korah in rebellion against God-ordained, God-called authority. And the people didn't like it. And they began to come at Moses, who was in the temple. And they began to approach the holy place, the temple, the altar of God. They began to approach the altar of God contemptuously, with contempt in their heart. Moses saw him coming. He said, "Oh, Aaron, run, fill your censer with coals from the altar, and get in the midst of the people and try to stay the plague, for the plague has already started." Oh yes, they only did it once, brethren. They only approached the altar of God Almighty one time contemptuously. And by the time Aaron could run, scrape up some coals off the altar, and run to where the line marking the dead people and the living people, where the plague was at, by the time Aaron could run to that location and stand and begin offering on incense there, already 24,000 people had died. Don't ever think about it. Approaching the altar of God, the holy place, the place where God has chosen to place his name. Don't ever think about approaching that place contemptuously. It only happened once, but it's going to happen again. And God will cut them in pieces. And just as Moses told the people when God slew Nadab and Abihu, "Do not mourn for these people, who God will slay with his own hand. Judgment must begin at the house of God. Don't mourn for these people. We'll probably see him in glory, but don't mourn for them." I like to think we'll still see him in glory, but whatever you do, don't you mourn for these people. God told David, "Don't you mourn for Uzzah," who reached up and touched the ark as he thought it was going to slide off the cart. Oh, no, no. Don't you, in your pride and vanity, think you can do things in a way different than what the Word of God says about some of these things in this time. God is going to be very serious about these things, and you're going to see from this prophet Micah that these are serious times. But anyway, that's what the roadmap is all about. Establishing a terrorist state in Samaria, the mountains of Israel, and giving Jerusalem to the Pope. Micah in chapter 1, verse 2, "Hear, all ye people, O hearken, O earth, and all that therein is." He is speaking to the whole earth. Do you see why it has a special significance to the people of the last days? "Hear, all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord, from his holy temple." If you don't understand the holy place, if you don't understand the place where God Almighty has chosen to place his name, if you don't understand the Holy Ghost-filled apostolic seal, sealed with even the blood of James killed in the temple, sealed by the beatings and imprisonments and threats of the apostles twice a day, every day, after they were filled with the Holy Ghost, if you don't understand it, you better keep your mouth shut. If you think you understand it and speak against this place where God Almighty has chosen to place his name, where the apostles risk their life twice a day, every day, it's 25-30 times in the book of Acts. If you think you have heard from God to speak against that holy place, to speak against God's altar, you better shut your mouth. You better learn what the oblation is. These are serious things, brethren. These are serious times. You don't want to be near anyone who would dare to speak against the altar of God Almighty. Hear. This is what you better hear. You better listen to the oblation message. You better have ears to hear. The oblation message is up on the website for anybody to hear. You better hear it, and you better understand it. "Hear, all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord, from his holy temple." Yeah, the temple of the Lord is holy. The Temple Mount, that whole 500 by 500 cubit area known as the Temple Mount, is the holy place. And all the Antichrist has to do is stand in that holy place, and he can fulfill Matthew 24:15. If you don't understand it, at least have enough understanding to keep your mouth shut, because you're not speaking by the Holy Ghost to speak against God's altar. You're not speaking by the Holy Ghost to approach the altar of God contemptuously. If you don't understand it, you better not speak against it. "For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth, and the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft as wax before the fire, as the waters that are poured down a steep place." Brethren, I hope you see the last day's focus of Micah in the words, "Hear, all ye people, O hearken, all ye earth." When are the mountains going to melt? When's the Lord coming down? This is the last days. The Lord cometh forth out of his place to come down, and the mountains will melt. When will the elements melt? Peter tells us, at the day of the Lord, and we're near. One of the shortcomings of the Great Joy and Great Tribulation book was that Micah was not included. All of the minor prophets are exploding with detail in what is now unfolding on this earth, and so are the major prophets. There's much important instructions in the minor prophets, particularly from God to his people, and especially so with this book of Micah. So here are some things, and this is not comprehensive, but here are some things that the prophet Micah has to say regarding these days in which we now live. Micah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Woe to them that devise iniquity. Beware of iniquity. Do you understand the difference between sin and iniquity? Micah says, woe to them that devise iniquity. Iniquity, brethren, is the only thing that will keep anybody out of the kingdom of heaven. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand, and they covet fields, and take them by violence, and houses, and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which you shall not remove your necks, neither shall you go haughtily, for this time is evil. This time is evil. Woe to the people that devise evil during the night and rise early to carry it into execution. This time is evil. The governments of this world, everywhere in this world today, are Antichrist. It has been given over to Lucifer, the Antichrist, and his false prophet Pope. Brethren, it is bad to do evil on a sudden thought, or to be overtaken in some sin. But it's much worse to do it with design and malice aforethought and evil planning. If covetousness reigns in the heart, compassion is impossible. And when the heart is gripped with covetousness, then soon enough there will be violence and fraud. Look at the fraud of the government and court system today in America, in the culture of covetousness. The 501c3 churches preach a prosperity gospel in the face of the truth that Jesus Christ said you cannot serve both God and mammon. You will soon see that most haughty, yes, that most proud and haughty nation, that most haughty nation come down. You're going to see that the people who are most haughty and most secure in prosperity, those people are going to be the first to take the mark of the beast. And the most ready to despair in adversity. Woe to those from whom God turns away. Woe to those who separate themselves. Jude 19, these be they that separate themselves. Sensual, having not the Spirit. Oh, they think they do. Yeah, and they got spirits. It's just not the Holy Spirit, see. They got little s spirits. But Jude 19 says, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. You separate yourself from your brothers and sisters in Christ, you are sensual. You don't have the Holy Ghost. I'm sure you think you do, but you don't. Jesus said, because iniquity would abound. Iniquity. Brethren, I hope you understand the difference between iniquity and sin. Heaven's going to be full of sinners, but no workers of iniquity. You better understand it. Jesus said, because iniquity would abound, the love of many would grow cold. It's happening every day. Stop justifying the separation from the people of God, brethren. Don't do it. Yet many today will treat you as an enemy when you would dare tell them the truth. If you dare tell them the truth about the oblation, they're going to take their religious doctrines, which exalt themselves against the Word of God, and they will believe themselves to be justified in separating from the people of God. And many will treat you as an enemy when you dare tell them the truth. This time is evil. That is the truth. The Word of God by Micah chapter 2 verse 3 says so. Micah chapter 2 verses 6 and 7. Prophesy ye not. You don't like to hear what I'm telling you, do you, brethren? I don't really have a choice to tell you what I'm telling you. But Micah says, prophesy ye not, say they to them that prophesy. They shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame. Oh, that thou art named, O thou that art named the house of Jacob, Is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these His doings? Well, my God wouldn't do that, so many people say. That's the problem. They don't know the real God. They don't know the true God. They have a God of their own imagination. O thou that art named the house of Jacob, you unborn again people. Oh, you say you have been born again. Well, that makes living proof that once saved, always saved is a lie of the devil, doesn't it? Jacob, that's what Jacob means. People that are not born again. Yes, brethren, the whole Bible should teach you that if you can find God's grace to repent, you can be born again again. Oh, that thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Do you know what that means? It's a very serious thing. Is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these His doings? Are not my words, do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? Oh, it'll be well for the righteous in judgment, but what makes you righteous? What makes you righteous is having true righteousness given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. What makes you righteous is walking in faith. Faith is believing what God said because God said so, and walking in obedience to what God said in the more sure word which is written. Now, if you walk contradictory to the more sure word which is written, no matter what spirit is tickling your innards to think you're being led by the Holy Spirit, your leading is from a counterfeit spirit, because the Holy Spirit will always lift up the Word of God. The Holy Spirit always confirms the more sure word which is written. The Holy Spirit will always bring into agreement and confirmation the more sure word which is written. God cannot deny Himself. Oh, how easily people get deceived in this day. Is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? What does that mean? Is the Spirit of the Lord grieved, loathed, troubled, and angry? Is the Spirit of the Lord straitened, grieved, troubled, angry? Yes. Yes, brethren. Sadly, that's the truth now. The Spirit of the Lord is grieved, even to the point of anger. Go ahead and say, prophesy not. Do you want smooth words? Brethren, the word of the Lord is that these are evil days. I know you want smooth words. Everybody likes smooth words. Are you going to go ahead and say, prophesy not? That would be a confirmation of the word, too. Do you want smooth words? Do you want the words of the professional flatterers of the apostate churches? Since they say, prophesy not, God will take them at their word, and their sin shall be their punishment. Those who say, prophesy not, are enemies not only to God, but to their country, who silence good ministers and stop the means of grace. By saying, prophesy not, they stop the means of grace. They stop the truth being brought forth. Where can anyone be able to stand in this coming storm who have no reverence for God's word? Sinners cannot expect to rest in a land that they have polluted. Unrepentant sin will destroy you, brethren. And apply this to our land today at this present time. There's corruption in the world through lust, and we better steer clear and keep our distance from it. This planet is not our home. No matter what country we're in, it's not our home. If we're in the country where we were born, it's still not our home. The world is about to pass away, brethren. You better be like Abraham, looking for a city. We better look and understand that we have in this day no continuing city. We must diligently seek that city whose builder and maker is God. Because they love not the truth, they will be damned. Look at what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Look what it says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 11 and 12. Brother, This is a serious word. This word is for now. Look what it says. This is the word of God, brethren. And for this cause, this is the reason, for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion. Oh, you think you heard from the Holy Ghost? Well, maybe you did. Maybe God sent you a strong delusion. For this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. What's a lie? Anything that contradicts the more sure word of God, which is written, that's a lie. Because we know what the truth is. Jesus said, as he was praying to the Father in John 17, thy word is truth. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is the truth personified. The word of God is the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth personified. I am the way, the truth, and the life, whose name is called the word of God. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. They should believe something that contradicts the more sure word of God, which is written, that they should believe a lie. And oh yeah, they'll believe. This is the Holy Ghost telling them to believe this lie, because God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Yes, brethren, that's a strong word. But since they want to be deceived, God will let them be deceived. Teachers who teach self-indulgence, self-esteem, by their prosperity gospel and doctrine and example, will have large flocks following them right straight to hell, while they say to the true prophets of God, who tell the truth of the word of God, God said so based upon the more sure word which is written. Yeah, there's a lot of words in the word of God that people don't like. They don't like to hear. And they say, prophesy not to God sent prophets in these last days. Micah chapter 2, verses 11 through 13 is a sure sign of the times. Listen to what Micah says in chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. If a man walking in the spirit of falsehood, if a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make a great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up, they have passed through the gate, and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. This is a right now passage, brethren. This is a right now passage that speaks of the conversion of the Jews to Christ. Hallelujah. The Lord would not only bring them from captivity and multiply them, but the Lord Jesus will soon remove the veil over their eyes and open their way to God. Unto this day, we read in Acts, when Moses is read, a veil remains over their eyes, and God is about ready to remove that veil. The time is at hand. Now is the time, brethren. And soon we shall see this great work of His Spirit in their hearts, breaking the chains and fetters of Satan. King Yeshua is the only Messiah. The blindness is being removed, brethren. The people of God will follow that only good shepherd in his strength. He will break through the enemies that would stop their way to heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Micah goes on in chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and you princes of the house of Israel, you leaders of the people of God, you better hear this. Is it not for you to know judgment? Shouldn't you know judgment? Shouldn't you know what the Word of God says? All of it? Line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. From in the beginning in Genesis to the Amen of Revelation, shouldn't you know it all? Oh, you say you're a New Testament church. Well, you ain't got no foundation for your New Testament church if you remove it from the foundation and context of the Old Testament and things taken out of context are pretext for anything. But I want to tell you, it is for you to know judgment. You better know judgment. And I said, "Hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and you princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment, who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them, and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people, and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones, and chop them in pieces, as for the pot, and as flesh within the cauldron? Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, Peace. And he that putteth not into their mouths," God didn't tell them to say peace, not in this evil day. These days are evil, brethren. God didn't put peace in their mouth. He told them to give a warning. "Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, Peace. He that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him." They're coming against God. You come against Jerusalem, God will again choose Jerusalem. You come against Jerusalem, you come against Jews, you come against the people of God in the land of Israel, about to be born again from Jacob to become Israel, the nation of Israel, about to become Israel from Judah. You come against that city, you come against those people, you come against God Almighty, brethren. You will not find peace. I'm going to tell you, you can tell me to prophesy not, I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. I know what you want to hear. Maybe you don't want to hear this. Maybe you're going to say, prophesy not. Well, I can't do but tell you what the more sure Word of God, and it's all the Word of God, brethren. It's a consistent whole. If you don't understand it, you better shut your mouth. "Therefore, night shall be unto you, that you shall not have a vision." And if you get a vision, you don't know where that vision's coming from, brethren. Because in this day God is going to send strong delusion. You better be aware of this. "Therefore night shall be unto you, that you shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, that you shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall break over them. Then shall their seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded, yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin." Brethren, these are serious times. These are serious times. Brethren, we don't need prophets today. Look at the way the prophetic words in the whole entire Holy Bible. All these things were written for our examples. All of these things were written for our example more than anybody else that ever lived before. All of these things were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And brethren, that is us. We have all the signs, everything that the prophets have said. We don't need new prophets. We need prophets that will tell us what God says in the more sure word of prophecy, not people who claim to be speaking by the Holy Ghost and are contradicting the Word of God. And it's all the Word of God, brethren. You better understand that. Men cannot expect to do evil and end well. It's just plain wrong to throw away the roadmap to that city that we seek. The Ten Commandments, yeah, that's the real roadmap, brethren. It's just plain wrong to throw away that roadmap to the city we seek. Those Ten Commandments of God's royal law. Men will ultimately find done to them what they do to others. How do corrupt leaders hear the truth that could cause them to turn from their wickedness and live? They will not hear. The sad truth today is that those truths will not reach the ears of those in high positions or in authority, for most are deceived. Many are worshippers of Lucifer. If they're in high government positions, they are, and many in high church positions are actually worshippers of Lucifer. And those who deceive others are preparing confusion for themselves. The prophet has a passionate love to God and to the souls of men. The prophet of God has deep concern for God's glory and the salvation of God's people, and he has great zeal against sin. The difficulties that God's men meet does not stop them from the work to which God has called them. And this is the strength and resolve and endurance in trials and tests and reviling. That strength is not from or of the prophet himself, but that resolve comes from the power of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. And those who act honestly are those who act boldly. The righteous are as bold as a lion, and those who come to hear the word of God must be willing to be told their faults, and they must take it kindly. They must be thankful that they're hearing the truth, even if it hurts. They'll disqualify themselves if they take offense. Brethren, you, as a Christian, you cannot take offense. If you take offense, you're in the flesh. You're in the flesh. We disqualify ourselves if we take offense. We have disqualified ourselves. We know we're in the flesh if we take offense. Christians do not take offense. And that's how you know real Christians. They do not take offense. It's hard to hurt a dead man, brethren. Have you died in Christ? When's the last time you took offense? You take offense, you're not walking in the Spirit. You're not in Christ if you take offense. Micah goes on, chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. Hear this, I pray you, you heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity, that build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? Isn't God in this place? Look at this. Man, we're casting out demons. Look, we got these miracles here. Yeah, you better understand what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say in Matthew chapter 7. Yeah, remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23? Remember that? This is a serious word, brethren. You best not forget it. Many, the Lord Jesus Christ says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? Well, Satan cannot cast out devils. Well, that's true. But listen, the Lord Jesus Christ says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were right in their own eyes. Oh, yeah, they thought God was with them. Oh, yeah, they did. Brethren, that's a serious word. You better consider it. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet they will lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Therefore, shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. Hear this, Ariel Sharon. You better hear this, you leaders of Israel. May God give you ears to hear. Shimon Peres, you will not hear. Perez, your kingdom is taken from you. The handwriting is on the wall, you child of the devil, you murderer and traitor to the people of Israel, you child of hell. Zion's walls are not built by men with bloody hands and iniquity. The anger of man works not the righteousness of God. And yet it is godly to be angry about the things that anger God. The disobedience of the leaders of Israel makes me angry. I can't help it, brethren. It is righteous indignation. This is not the anger of man when you see the leaders of born-again people misleading the people of God. Yeah, it makes me angry. And it's righteous indignation, brethren. The Son of God said some things that we don't like to think about, but we better consider. The sin of man works not the righteousness of God. The anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. And this is not the anger of man that you sometimes hear. This is righteous indignation that the man of God is so disheartened when the leaders of born-again people mislead the people of God. That angers God, and it angers the men of God who see clearly that these leaders of God's people are sowing confusion and not leading according to the more sure word which is written. The sin of man does not work the righteousness of God. And even when men do that which is good in and of itself, but they do it for filthy lucre, it becomes an abomination both to God and man. Faith rests in the Lord. Faith must be founded upon God said so in the more sure word. Faith must be based upon God said so. The anchor of the soul is God said so. Faith based upon God said so is an anchor that'll hold us fast in this coming storm. If it grabs hold of the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, whose name is called the Word of God, our faith has got to be based on God said so. There is hell, fire, and doom for the wickedness of Jacob, unborn again people, especially the leaders of God's people. James 3:1 is a serious word. Let not many of you become masters, let not many of you become teachers, for we will receive the greater condemnation if we mislead the people of God. And therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field. This was exactly fulfilled, this particular word. This word was exactly fulfilled at the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans. And it was exactly fulfilled when Nebuchadnezzar came down to destroy the first temple. This has been fulfilled exactly two times already. So we best be open to other possibilities for this word, how it applies in this evil day. Because it has been exactly fulfilled by the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans. And there is coming, brethren, a greater fulfillment any day now. If sacred places are polluted by sin, they will be destroyed and ruined by the judgments of God. Micah goes on to say in chapter 4, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. Now, brethren, I hope you got ears to hear this, but in the last days it shall come to pass that in the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. Brethren, there's going to be a house of the Lord established on the top of that temple mount in the last days. This is last day's context, and I don't care whether you like it or you don't like it. This is the Word of God, brethren. You better understand it. And if you don't understand it, you better keep your mouth shut. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it, and many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Yeah, this is what's going to happen in the last days. I don't care if you like it or not. God said so, brethren. You better believe it. This is the more sure word which is written. This is the word of God you're hearing. Micah goes on, and he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, I will assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, her that I have afflicted, and I will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Did you catch that? In the last days? This word is a prophecy for right now, in the last days. Are we in the last days? Yes, we're in the last days. This word of the Lord is for now. All of the word of God is most applicable to those of us who are alive now. It was all written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. Why do people want to fly away or ignore such a call to participate in the glory of God and be His witnesses in His great glory? Why do they want to fly away and ignore such a great, glorious call of God to people, His people in this time? Why do they want to fly away from it? Why? Well, I'll tell you why. They want their own plans. And they don't want God messing up their plans. That's why. Ready or not, like it or not, He's coming. And He's going to mess up everybody's plans. Brethren, it's high time we quit asking Him to bless our plans and start asking Him to bless us by letting us see how we may enter into His plans. This is His time. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The nations will not submit to the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory. No, the nations will not submit to Him. And most churches will not submit to Him. Oh, they think they've got the Holy Ghost telling them to go away. That contradicts the more sure word is which is written. No, it's not the Holy Ghost whenever you're led to go away. That contradicts the more sure word which is written. It's a spirit sure enough, and you think it is the Holy Ghost, but it is a deceiving spirit. The Holy Ghost always confirms and affirms and goes the direction of the Word of God that is written, the more sure word that is written. It is not time yet, brethren, to beat our swords into plowshares or expect war to cease till Yeshua, the real true Prince of Peace, the real King of Kings, splits the Mount of Olives. That's when you'll know it's time to beat your swords into plowshares. Between now and then, there's going to be war. Yet there are some very precious promises. Oh, brethren, there's some precious promises in here, and I hope you don't miss it. These promises are to His faithful remnant, and they will be more and more fulfilled, for He is faithful that has promised. There shall be a glorious church, for God will set it up in the last days, in the days of Messiah. It may not be big in numbers, but it's going to be strong in His power and in His might, for His glory, not for the glory of some poobah leader. No, for His glory. Don't touch His glory. We must find our place, brethren. We must find our place. We must find our place and know our place and stay in our place. Satan's going to try and move you out of your place, but we must find our place, know our place, and stay in our place. We must overcome the pride and envy, the spirits that we cannot get fully cast out, but by the power of the Holy Ghost can keep under our feet where they belong. Brethren, we've got to watch for this all the time. We must overcome and keep this pride and envy under our feet where it belongs. Christ Himself will build this glorious remnant church, not some religious poobah, mucky-muck religious leader. No, Christ Himself is going to build this glorious remnant church upon Himself as the rock. No, your poobah leadership ain't going to do it. No, it ain't, Mr. Religious Mucky-Muck. Christ Himself is going to build this glorious remnant church upon Himself as the rock. It ain't your great poobah teachings. No. It's the Word of God, the more sure Word which is written. Christ is going to build this glorious remnant church upon Himself, whose name is called the Word of God, the only rock that will not be moved, and the only head of such a glorious church. No other poobah is going to be in the middle. No. The faithful remnant will cleave to the Lord with full purpose of heart and delight in doing His will. The word halteth describes those who walk not according to the Word of God. We got to get it straightened out, brethren. We better not stumble over the Word of God. It's a consistent whole. We all need to get about getting our limp healed by more conformity to the more sure Word which is written, the Word of God. We've got to be in total conformity with it. The collecting of the captives from Babylon was just a glimpse of the greater last day's healing and purifying and even the glory of God in the midst of His last day remnant church. We are about to enter the millennial reign of Christ that will continue till the end of the millennium. And at the end of the millennium is when we will see New Jerusalem. It's beyond imagination. We ought not be thinking about that now. We ought to be thinking about getting into heavenly Jerusalem because, brethren, it's a fearful thing. There is so much being shaken, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken. The everlasting kingdom of heaven, New Jerusalem, will come down to earth at the end of that millennium. Let's get into His kingdom. That's the job at hand. That's the main thing. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. And let us stir each other up to walk in faith, to walk in the law of God, that we may learn His holy ways and walk in them and receive the law from His hands, written in stone and now being written in our hearts by His Spirit. Hallelujah. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and soon they'll be satisfied in the fullness of our Redeemer's righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. True righteousness that we get from our Redeemer. Hallelujah. Power of the Holy Ghost to live holy, to walk holy, to do holy, to walk in accord with the Word of God, to recognize the truth of the Word of God, the more sure Word which is written. Hallelujah. Oh, brethren, it is soon. Hallelujah. Micah goes on in chapter 4, verses 9 through 13. Now why dost thou cry aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes as travail upon a woman and child. Oh, brethren, now why dost thou cry aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. But now also many nations are gathered against thee. See, that all happened. That's all history. But look at this. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled. Oh, those bloody Christ-killer Jews, they're getting what they deserved. Oh, God ought to destroy that filthy Jerusalem. Oh, brethren, don't get caught in this. Oh, whatever you do, don't take this lie of the devil that'll take you to hell. Oh, don't buy it, brethren. Now, also, many nations. Now, this is last days right now. Look at it. Now, also, many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled. Let Jerusalem and the Jews be defiled. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord. Oh, they think they do. Oh, they think it's the Holy Ghost. Oh, but the Word of God says they know not. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they His counsel. For He shall gather them as sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion. For I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Brethren, we see it now. These words are for now. Now more than at any time ever, we see it now. Many nations, if not all nations, are assembling against Zion now. There are even many so-called Christians who are setting themselves against Zion now. Oh, God forbid, but it's happening, brethren. We see it. Now they are set to rejoice in the calamities of Jerusalem. Oh, brethren, it is so sad. the nations do not understand, and there are many leaders in 501c3 churches that don't understand that the Lord has collected them as sheaves that are gathered to be threshed. The Lord is about to give the nations the threshing of all times. Never was a threshing like this, and never will be again such a threshing from the hand of the Lord against all the nations that come against Zion, like the one now at hand. Oh, brethren, this is going to be some threshing from the hand of the Lord. And it's going to be hard against all those who come against Zion, who come against the Jews, who come against Jerusalem in this time. Oh, brethren, don't you dare get caught in it. The Lord Himself will be in the midst of Zion. God will again choose Jerusalem, brethren. He's again choosing Jerusalem. The Lord Himself will be in the midst of Zion to keep and strengthen her against all the nations to beat them to pieces. Nothing has yet taken place like this in history, and it is now, brethren, at the very door. The fulfillment of these words will soon be fulfilled before our eyes in our time. God has a conquering work for His people to do, and He will furnish them with strength and ability for it. Believers will cry aloud under the coming distress, and their cries must be the prayer of faith and not with despondency. And that's why we must continue pumping faith iron by reading and focusing on the Word of God, the more sure Word which is written. Hallelujah. Micah goes on in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Oh, brethren, don't miss this one. Now gather thyselves in troops, O daughter of troops. He that laid siege against us, they shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We must know the real Yeshua, the real Jesus, who only can save us from the wrath to come. The real Messiah had to be born in Bethlehem. Any Messiah not born in Bethlehem is a false Messiah. And this prediction of Micah about the Messiah and his kingdom should give tremendous encouragement to the faith of God's people. Micah confirms that the real Messiah has his existence from eternity as God. He is the only mediator between God and man, the Messiah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Yeshua. Micah 5:2 is perhaps the most profound messianic prophecy in all of the Holy Bible. The people of these last days should mark this verse well. It's a great memory verse, Micah 5:2. The false Messiah will not be born in Bethlehem. He'll be born in London. Yeah, that's where he was born. He wasn't born in Bethlehem. He was born in London. And this alone should prevent anyone from worshiping him or receiving his mark, no matter what his false prophet Pope says and whatever any other religious poobah says. Micah goes on in chapter 5, verses 3 through 6. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth, and this man shall be the peace. When the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men, and they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod in the entrance thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land, when he treadeth within our borders. We must know the real Jesus, brethren, who only can save us from the wrath to come. The real Messiah had to be born in Bethlehem, and any Messiah not born in Bethlehem is a false Messiah. Micah confirms that the real Messiah has his existence from eternity as God. Messiah must have Bethlehem be his birthplace. And it was universally known among the Jews when the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. It was universally known among all the people who studied the scriptures then. And brethren, I've got good news for you. Now, in this time, this is much more widely known among the Jews in Israel than most would ever imagine. Hallelujah. I'm glad I can tell you that. Messiah's government is coming at the conclusion of this 42-month war of the Antichrist on the saints. And we will see good government soon, brethren. We will be very happy subjects of the great King. And we will be soon safe and find that all burdens will be easy in the King's Sabbath millennium, a whole 1,000-year Sabbath. Hallelujah. There's even a veiled promise of protection from the Assyrians. And this relates to what Isaiah said in 17:1. Damascus is going to cease to be a city. It'll be left nothing but a ruinous heap. And brethren, this has never happened. This is for now too. And this ties in with it. Yes, even that's a promise of protection also to the faithful remnant church and all true believers from the designs and attempts of the powers of darkness. Christ, Messiah, Yeshua, is our peace as a priest. Oh yes, he's our great high priest, making atonement for sin and reconciling us to God. Hallelujah. And he is our peace as a king. Yeah, not just a king, the king, the King of Kings, conquering our enemies. Hallelujah. And these words of Micah let us know that our souls may dwell and find rest in him no matter what. Christ will find the way and be the way to protect and deliver. And those that threaten to ruin the faithful remnant church of God will very soon bring ruin on themselves. And we are certain of the ruin of all Antichrist powers. And this could be the most important single prophecy, Micah 5:2, in the whole Old Testament. And I do hope you see it, brethren. It relates to the personal character of Messiah and the revealing of Messiah to the world. It reveals Messiah's human birth and the necessity of Messiah existing from eternity. It foretells the rejection of the Israelites and the Jews for a season and of their final restoration and the universal peace to prevail through the whole earth in the end of these latter days of tribulation. And it gives us great reason to trust our shepherd's care and power. If he permits the assault of our enemies, he will supply helpers and assistance for us. Hallelujah. The great fulfillment of this great prophecy is at hand now. And Micah goes on in chapter 5, verses 7 through 15. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off thy horse out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds, and I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands, and I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee. So will I destroy thy cities, and I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. Brethren, we are to be salt and light. The people of God are to be salt and light. And these 501c3 churches cannot be salt and light. Oh, they may yet for a season, but ultimately there's no way a 501c3 church, which has a contract as a state church, can have Yeshua the Messiah truly be Lord. Jesus Christ is not the true Lord of 501c3 churches. It's sad, but there is a contract that says he can only be Lord in a virtual way. Now, soon, this hammer's going to come down. And there's a contract, you see, with the state that removes the salt and light from the 501c3 churches. And when the whole world around you is demon-possessed, brethren, at that point, listen, I hope you don't miss this. When the whole wide world around us is demon-possessed, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, then you will become like a lion in the forest, like a lion in the midst of the flock of sheep. Yeah, when the whole wide world around you is demon-possessed and you're walking in the fullness of the Holy Ghost, you're going to be like a lion walking through the midst of a flock of sheep. In the exceeding greatness of His power, they will flee. In the exceeding greatness of His power, and brethren, don't miss this, it's for His glory, not your poobah glory. It's for His glory. Hallelujah. The remnant of the true Israel, the redeemed, are among many nations as drops of dew, and we will yet be His instruments in calling a large increase of true spiritual worshipers. And those who neglected or opposed this salvation will soon have their doctrine condemning them. You better get your doctrine to agree with the more sure word, all of it, every single line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. The Lord also declares that He would cause not only the reformation of the Jews, but the purification and the joining of the two houses, the two sticks, will be brought together soon, brethren. We are assured of victory, and we must simply depend upon the Lord, our salvation, our Yeshua. Yeshua means salvation. Glory to God. Worship Him and serve Him with diligence. Hallelujah. What a great and worthy King. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Micah goes on in chapter 6, first 5 verses. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and you strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with His people, and He will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me, for I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. Brethren, this is happening now in Israel. The people in Israel are being called upon to declare why they were weary of God's worship and prone to idolatry. Sin causes the controversy between God and man. God reasons with us to teach us to reason with ourselves. We must acknowledge the truth. We need to remember God's many blessings to us and to our fathers, just as Israel now must do. We must repent of our unworthy and ungrateful conduct toward Him. Micah goes on in chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Wow. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn of my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? Ah, He hath showed thee, O man. Oh, glory to God, He has showed thee. Oh, memorize this verse. He has showed thee, O man. Just one verse. Oh, memorize this verse. Micah 6:8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Oh, hallelujah. Memorize that verse, Micah 6:8, brethren. Deep conviction of guilt and fear of wrath will put those who will be saved on the right path to make the right kind of search for peace and pardon. And that's where the ground for our blessed hope begins. Hallelujah. And otherwise, there's no ground for hope. If God is going to be pleased with us, the only way is through the atonement of Messiah, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that sin, which separates us from God, may be taken away. There's no other satisfaction to God's justice, to the requirement of God's perfect justice. There is no other satisfaction for the sins of man, for His perfect justice. There is no other name by which we must come. We have nothing to plead as our own regarding the fact that we are sinners. And there is only one righteousness that could ever allow us to appear before the holy God. If we do not know the only way, it's the most horrible of all ignorance. We are fools to think that zeal or something very rich or costly could make a way. Only those who are fully convinced of the fact that we are sinners deserving hell, only that fact of our misery and danger because of our sin will cause us to give up all. For all is what we must give to find this blessed hope and peace and pardon. Our good works stink. What you do for God stinks, if that's what you're depending on for your justification, for your righteousness. All offerings of peace, except those according to the gospel, are absurd. Nothing else can answer the demands of divine justice. Nothing else can satisfy the wrong done to the honor of God by sin. Nothing else can bring holiness of heart and the changed life that is the evident token of salvation. Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now we don't keep commandments to be saved. How we walk and keep and talk and keep the Torah does not save you, you deceived child of hell. No. We keep His commandments because we are saved. That's not what saves us. It's the proof to Jim that Jim is saved because I delight in His law. Yet, we do often see that men will part with anything rather than part with their sins. Man, it's sad. The majority will give up nothing to be accepted by God, and it's sad, and we do mourn. But blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We must determine to part with our sins, brethren. Without holiness, no man will see God. The simple duty of the creature is to obey the Creator, and keeping God's commandments brings a great reward. But that's not what justifies us, brethren. Don't get the cart before the horse on this one ever. God has made this known. It's so simple. Any child can understand it. God has made it known. It is so plain and simple. All men will be without excuse. Every thought within us must be brought down, brethren, to be brought into obedience to God. If we would walk in humble peace with Him, Micah 6:8. I hope you'll memorize that verse. It's one of my favorite memory verses, and it can keep you out of a lot of trouble. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. We must walk humbly with God. Men cannot judge the humility of our walk with God. There's a lot of false humility in this world, brethren. People put in shows, tremendous shows people put on, especially church people, put on these great shows of false humility before the brethren. And that's not what we're talking about here. And no man can really judge the humility of our walk with God. It's this walking humbly with God, this real humility between you and God, that is what Micah is talking about here. Nobody can fool God. We are repentant, redeemed sinners, and we are in total dependence on the Redeemer and His atonement. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. He is ever ready to give His grace to the humble who will repent. Hallelujah. We love mercy because we know His mercy endures forever. We have received such great mercy that we have to love mercy. Oh, hallelujah. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord doth require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Micah goes on in chapter 6, verses 9 through 16. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances, with the bag of deceitful weights? For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, in making thee desolate because of thy sins. Thou shalt eat but not be satisfied, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold but not deliver, and that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword. Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but shalt not anoint thee with oil. The sweet wine, but shalt not drink wine. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and the words of the house of Ahab, and you walk in their counsels, that I should make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof an hissing. And therefore you shall bear the reproach of my people. God has very clearly and plainly showed how necessary it is that we should do justly. And now we see how plain and simple is the fact that we have all done unjustly. The voice of the Lord says to all, hear the rod when it's coming before you see it and feel it. Hear the rod when it's come, and be smart and listen to the voices of correction and conviction that God brings. The voice of God is to be heard in the rod of God. And those who are dishonest in their dealings shall never be reckoned pure, whatever shows of devotion they might make. What is gotten by fraud and oppression cannot be kept or enjoyed with satisfaction. What we hold most valuable, we will most likely lose first. Sin is a root of bitterness. The root of sin is quickly planted, but not soon or easily rooted out. Walking right as a child of God, in name and in conduct, and keeping ourselves in His love, is an honor and a blessing. If we backslide, having once been the people of God, it's a shame and a disgrace. Micah goes on in chapter 7, verses 1 through 7, woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage, there is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for reward, and the great men he uttereth his mischievous desire. So they wrap it up. Wow. The best of them is as a briar, and the most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Hallelujah. Can you relate to this? Do we mourn and moan that we live among people bent on ruin? In this course of destruction, many good people will suffer. Jesus told us that our own house would be divided, and our own family would betray us. Contempt and violation of family duties is a strong sign of the times and a sad symptom of the universal corruption. Micah saw no other safety, no other comfort, but in looking to the Lord. Put no confidence in a friend. Trust only in the Lord. That's the only safety that there is. The only comfort is in looking to the Lord and waiting on God, our salvation. Brethren, when we're under trials, we need to look continually to our Redeemer. Jesus can give us the strength. We must find our strength in Him and trust Him. Trust and obey. There's no other way, brethren. And Micah goes on in chapter 7, verses 8 through 13. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against Him. Until He plead my cause and execute judgment for me, He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold His righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, Where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her now. Shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets? In the day that thy walls are to be built, in that day shall the decree be far removed. In that day also he shall come even to thee from Assyria, and from the fortified cities, and from the fortress even to the river, and from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain. Notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doings. When I stay focused on the cross and what Jesus endured to pay the price for my sins, then I can find the reason and the power to be patient under affliction. For the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but to us who are saved, it's the power of God. When we complain to the Lord about hard times, we're wrong, brethren. Understanding what He did for us should cut short our murmuring. We must trust God to work deliverance for us, and He will in due time. We must not only look to Him, but look for Him. In great tribulation, we will not despair of our blessed hope of salvation. We must just stay focused on the Lord, the God of our salvation, by faith. Though enemies seem to delight in crushing us and insulting us, they shall be silenced and put to shame. The Lord is now building the walls of Zion. The time is at hand now when God will repair Israel. He will save the whole nation in a day soon. Israel is now coming from all the remote parts, and they are not turning back, brethren. Though our enemies may seem to prevail against us and rejoice over us, we should know the end will be glorious for us in Messiah, in Christ. And though cast down, we're not destroyed. We have a sure and steadfast hope in God's mercy, and we must willingly submit to His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Micah goes on in chapter 7, verses 14 through 20, Feed thy people with thy rod, and the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitarily in the wood, in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in the days of old. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. The nation shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth, and their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God, and shall fear because of thee. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our enemies. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob, and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Hallelujah. The Lord will yet be glorified in his body, which is his church. And he is well able to take care of his church. He is the great and powerful shepherd of the sheep. He will be with us in great tribulation. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Hallelujah. Heaven is not that bad, brethren. We will see the manifestation of the exceeding greatness of his might, his mighty power. Oh, brethren, it is exceeding great, his mighty power, beyond all that we can ask or even think. We are to be his witnesses to this exceeding great manifestation of his power for his glory. Hallelujah. Brethren, sin brings bondage. God's pardon through the blood of Yeshua sets us free. They overcame the Antichrist beast by the blood of Yeshua, the word of our testimony, and we will not love our lives unto the death. Heaven is not that bad, brethren. We don't die. We don't play fair in this Antichrist war on the saints, brethren. We don't play fair in this Antichrist war on the saints at all. Hallelujah. When the Lord takes away the guilt of sin, that it may not condemn us, he will break the power of sin, that it may not have dominion over us. When God forgives sins, he takes care that it never shall be remembered any more against the sinner. He casts our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. Hallelujah. He puts our sin away for good. Oh, brethren, what an insult it is to ever allow anybody or any voice to drag any sin that we put under the blood out from under the blood. We will not allow no such insult to God. He puts our sins away for good. He will not remember them. Hallelujah. All our sins shall be cast into his sea of forgetfulness. And when God forgives sins, he forgives all and does not remember that sin. And that's good news, brethren. That's the good news of the gospel to carry us through the end times of great tribulation. Hallelujah. We can look with confidence to our future restoration as a part of Israel, the family of God. The Lord will perform this truth and mercy, and not one jot or one tittle of it shall fall to the ground. Faithful is he that has promised, who also will do it. The Lord has given the security of his covenant. He's a covenant-keeping God, brethren. Oh, and he ain't forgotten them. No, he's going to bring them in. He's going to save that whole nation in one day, and he's going to do it soon. Oh, don't speak against Israel. Don't speak against Jerusalem. Don't speak the people of his covenant. Oh, brethren, don't do that. No, you're wrong if you ever do that. You speak against those people. You speak against the city of Jerusalem. You speak against the covenant people of God. You're wrong. You think it's the Holy Ghost. You're deceived. You're wrong. The Lord God has given us the security of his covenant. He's a covenant-keeping God. We have a blessed hope, which is based on the integrity of the Word of God. He is the rock of our salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Hallelujah.